Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You really want to follow. You want to become a fan. I give away a lot of stuff, CDs, movie tickets, restaurant dinners. The other day I gave away a Whole Foods gift card, Amazon gift card, and you never know what I might be giving away tonight. So follow at Joy Keys on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. But right now, wow, we are truly blessed today, this evening, to have a wonderful guest on the show. You might have seen her in the movie called The Players Club. You also might have seen her on All of Us. Recently, you've probably seen her on her own show, which is a true blessing to her, The Real McCoy, and VH1's Single Ladies. She's been in a number of videos, music videos. I won't even go and try to list them. But she's also a very strong advocate for breast cancer awareness. She's a mom. She used to be a fashion model. She's a businesswoman. She was at one time the first lady of Turks and Caicos Island. And she's just doing it all. Good evening, Lisa Ray.
Good evening. How are you? And hello.
Thank you so much for calling in today. I know we kind of got this together at the last minute, but I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to call in today.
Well, nothing is last minute when it's supposed to happen, so we're right on time, girl.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So let's start at the beginning. You're from Chi-Town.
Born and raised Southside.
I love Chicago. I took my daughter out there for a vacation, and I've been out there a couple times. It's just a really great city. It's almost like in New York, but it's more spread out. But okay, deep dish pizza, girl. You have the fabulous figure. How do you keep this fabulous figure and this deep dish pizza around?
Well, let me tell you. I just left home because I'm in Atlanta right now filming. I just left home yesterday due to actually a funeral of my aunt that passed. But I stopped by to get some deep dish pizza. And when I tell you I was on the road because I was like, I am not leaving home until I get my pizza. So I stopped by. But you know what? A lot of people always ask me, you know, how do you stay so fit, so toned, so this, so that? And I think as women, you know, we know how to camouflage the best. So, you know, I feel like I done gained a little weight, you know what I mean, and I'm not really working as much, meaning, you know, I have to stay smaller when I'm on TV because TV adds like 10 pounds to us. So when people really see me up close and personal, they're like, are you losing weight? And it's like, no, I'm the same size. Yeah. But, you know, I really got to credit it to my mother. It's in my genes. You know, it's genetic. Really? I have great skin from my mother. And I have a great physique and a great body tone from my mother, you know. So I can't say that I do anything special. You know, yes, I drink water. Yes, I, you know, exercise every now and then. I get on an exercise regimen per project, meaning if I have something coming up, then I'll start working out or whatever. But I tell you this, I noticed that the older that I'm getting, well, I'll say more seasoned or mature that I'm getting. okay.
I like to do I like this. That.
Okay, I like to do the Tai Bo or boxing. It's something about that that helps me get aggression and stress off of me. You know what I mean? And that beginning stage, when I first get to the gym, I'm so tired. It's like, can I get out of my truck to get inside and start? But once I get there, I'm satisfied. So, you know, I do what I can as I can, you know?
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, it is a very strenuous business, and I'm sure there's, like, times when you're stressed and you want to go grab some junk and you just try to keep that balance. So your mom, I don't know if people realize, but your mom, I read, used to be a model herself.
Yes, yes, she did. Fashion Fair and the Dress Horseman back in the day, and I remember, you know, her dressing me up in my little long gowns and stuff and me looking at her on the stage and going, wow, that's my mom.
Now, was she the main inspiration for you getting into the business and the entertainment and stuff?
You know, I think there was a period when I started getting into the modeling that I kind of forgot that she had modeled. My mother was such a free woman to me with a bad shape. She was a brick house. Her friends used to call her brick house. That song used to be after her. She's a brick house. And so when I started, I think it was my way of just kind of having fun and having an outlet, you know, and then I just started taking it serious because other people took it serious for me, you know, and
okay,
I just
kind of
fell into it, pretty much like how I did with everything in my life.
So who do you think was your mentor in the business, or have you had a mentor in the business that kind of guided you along, or...
You know, when I got with a troupe, which was called the Paper Dolls, they used to model, and I think every last one of them had such a different look and such an ideal look to me that said, I'm a model. So I kind of stole a little bit of everything from them, and I was the baby. I was the youngest at the time. So they kind of coached me through everything, how to put my makeup on, what shoes I should buy, what and how to stuff my model's bag with what was needed. And then graduating from doing the church shows to doing schools and doing arenas and conventions and then the hair conventions and then hair shows and, you know, then I did expos and then I just graduated from that and did print work. And so I kind of, you know, there was no jealousy and hate that was going on back in my day in Chicago. Everybody was pretty much a unit and collaborated together.
Working together, yeah.
Now, I started with a Chicago designer that's hot now. She's going to have her own show that's coming up named Barbara Bates. And she did all of the leather in Chicago. And I knew that I wanted to model for her so bad. And so when you have someone like that you're trying to reach, you try to get better and better and better so that person can see you. And that's exactly what happened. She saw me, and I started modeling for her. And the girl, you couldn't tell me nothing. And I was gone, 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 gone.
Well, you definitely have gone on your trajectory is just amazing. You started out in the Players Club. Now, I just want to ask, I'm sure you've been asked before, you know, do you have any regrets about anything that you might have done in the business in terms of your sexuality that you exposed, your body exposed? You are a mom, and, you know, you have a daughter now, and I've seen your show, and you talked to her very directly about a lot of life issues. But do you have any regrets about things you might have done in the past in terms of entertainment business?
I've learned to say that, you know, and just like when we began the interview, everything is already ordered. You know what I mean? God has prepared your steps already. It's just according to you to step in them. Have I veered off to the right and to the left some? I'm sure I have. But I've trained myself to use those experiences to help mold me to the woman that I am now. And I like me. I like the person that I am. You know, I am totally blessed and I'm totally humble to be able to say I've moved through this business the way that I wanted to. Could I have done more movies? Absolutely. Could I have worked more and harder? Sure. But I don't want to. I work the way that I want to. I'm a leisure kind of woman. I don't like to work all the time. It gets too boring to me. It gets too work structured to me. And I don't like to be structured. I really, really, really don't like to be told what to do. So all that Lisa Ray stand here, you got 5 minutes, Lisa Ray, hurry up and wait, Lisa Ray, yeah, yeah, yeah. All that is like, hey, you know what? I think I'm changing my mind, you know? So, Players Club was a great vehicle for me to introduce myself. I don't know any young lady that wouldn't have taken that part that was absolutely about her character. That was my first part, and it was an introduction to the business and to the world to me. And so, absolutely, I had a young daughter, but not young enough that I didn't take her to the set with me and let her know this is real. this story is fiction, but however, this story is real. And these are people that have this kind of profession, and these people do make a living out of this. Now, would mommy choose this? No, because mommy would pick another type of job that I think that I would do. But however, these people are real. I explained that to her, and I explained to her that this is movie magic that I'm doing. I'm playing for 10, and I'm getting paid for it. And that's what we do as a living. It's only one thing that I regret, and that was when I was doing my reality show, the first season, I believe. It was when I took pictures for Black Men Magazine, and I happened I turned around. I was actually sick that day, and it was 20 below. I mean, it was 20 degrees outside in the desert, and I happened to turn around to sneeze a couple of times. The photographer called my name and was giving me some direction, and I was like, huh? What? I gave a couple of over-the-shoulder looks. He snapped pictures, but I wasn't really concerned about it because I'm thinking, I've already said that I wasn't taking any booty shots. Don't you know that that was the shot that they used on the cover? Now, I felt it was disrespectful because by that time I had became and was the former first lady of Turks and Caicos Islands. So I was like, you gotta respect my growth and where I've gone in my career. I've been there, done that. Why would you put a former first lady on the cover like this? I've already agreed to do the magazine. I've already came back.
People
agree to do that.
Lisa Ray, you know, people are greedy and they just are, you know what, they don't feel that they're blessed. So they're constantly seeking and running after the blessings, whereas it sounds like you are still and allowing the things to come to you. And as you mentioned earlier, everything happens is the way it's supposed to happen. And if you don't have that mindset, you're constantly running and grabbing and maybe taking stuff from other people you shouldn't be taking from. So that's probably why they use that picture that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I totally, you know, I had a conversation with them and I told them. And to be quite honest, it helped me because I won't ever have to take enough pictures for them and nobody else like that anymore. I am a more mature woman now. I've been there, done that. I think everybody has seen my body by now. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to hide my body. I'm not a person that's afraid of my body or my sexuality or my sensuality or my sexiness. It is what it is. But an older, mature, sexy doesn't mean that I have to be showing you I got to wear hot pants or I'm showing you mini skirts, so I got to give you breasts or a tummy. I don't have to do all of that. Sexy is what sexy is. And, hey, if I've gotten that type of accolade and that type of, you know, wording behind my name and you feel that I'm a sex symbol, you know, thank you very much. And
let's go with it.
I'm totally my hat's off.
Let's talk about being a mom. I'm a mom, too. I have a daughter. She just turned 18 on Saturday. Your daughter's about 22, 23 now.
Yes, 22.
Yeah. How has that changed you as a human being, just being a mom and trying to balance that with your career and relationships, you know, personal, like intimate relationships and your dreams? How has that changed you as a person, being a mother?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to say that she gave me a second chance at life because about 10 or 11 months before my daughter was born, my father was murdered. So you can imagine I was just distraught because I'm a daddy's girl. So she gave me that second chance to want to live. And so when I had her, she changed my life as far as me getting out and moving away from my mother's house and getting on my own. She allowed me to be able to be more structured and more disciplined. I became a cook. I became more responsible, you know, for someone else's life. And I love the love that I got from her because it's so unconditional. And I never knew any love like that before other than my dad, you know. So growing up, you know, cut to now she's 22 and got a little chip on her shoulder. It's like, well, who do you think you are, you know? So, you know, she's down in Atlanta with me going to college. And, you know, when we're here filming Single Ladies, she comes here with me and then we go back to L.A. So we're very close. I won't say that we're like friends because I don't really believe in that. I don't need to be her friend. I'm her mother. You know, she really likes me and I really like her, but I'm still mom. You know what I mean? So now
I'm totally
trying to teach her. I'm trying to teach her how to be a young lady and pass her over and hand her over to society to do her part. She's a good girl. You know what I mean? She's not a bad child. So I don't have those kind of problems out of her. She doesn't drink and drive and get belligerent. And I've never seen her drunk. I've never seen her not be able to handle herself in a way that would make me embarrassed. So I'm very proud of that. She takes school serious. You know, a couple of chores that I have her do around the house, she's learning how to do. And I probably put that on her now because it's like, you know what, I got to teach you how to clean your own apartment because if not, you're not going to be organized. you know, and it's just that next level of trying to teach her how to be a woman, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And when you say, you know, being intimate, it is strange because I conduct myself now as if I'm still, you know, well, as if though she's still young and I don't bring anybody
mm-hmm.
home with me, you know, and I remember I spent the night out. This summer, and I actually fell asleep over my girlfriend's house because we had ended up talking all night long, and I said, I'm going to stay over here. She texted me, and she called me, and was like, where are you? And I said, baby.
Where are you? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I said,
oh,
I'm at, you know, my friend's house, and she said, oh, okay, well, could you text me, please? And I felt like, well, wait a minute now, you know. But, you know, I was glad she did because there's so much going on in the world, you know. So, you know,
yeah.
we're tight, and I'm ready for her to move on and move out so I can go ahead and have my prime time now and start dating and start staying out if I want to, you know what I mean, without anybody texting
right.
me going, where are you?
Where are you? Yeah, my daughter did the same thing. Like, she went away to summer camp last year for a couple of months, and she now don't have no crazy parties, and if you go somewhere, leave a note on the phone stand, and, you know, I'm looking at her like, excuse me.
Yeah.
But that's a form of love. You know, they love you, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, you guys are friendly, but I believe the same way you do. I'm still your mom. I'm still your mom no matter what. And
exactly.
the buck stops here. And since we're talking about mom, I want to talk about your mom and the fight that you do trying to raise awareness about breast cancer. Can you talk to the audience a little bit about your story, your mom's story, and her struggle with
yes.
that?
Yes. Yes. I was approached to be the global ambassador for Susan G. Komen breast cancer, and I waited for a very long time to find an organization of my choice that I wanted to represent, you know. And, you know, when
mm-hmm.
you are a celebrity, you have a platform to be able to change people's opinion about things. And I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about, and it was something that hit personal home to me because I have two aunts. One surviving aunt from breast cancer, one aunt that died from breast cancer. And
wow.
Most recently, my mother just got over colon cancer. And so to me, the global aspect of cancer, that struck a nerve and close to home for me to be able to do my research and be able to talk about it from a personal experience. And so
what do you see the block for people? What do you think when you go out to situations, what are people telling you why they maybe waited to get tested or get checked out? What are the reasons they're telling you?
Because I'll tell you this, because you know, we saw this on Oprah. As black women, because we are actually more affected than any other race, as black women, we're just not as sensual with ourselves than any other race. We don't, you know, excuse me, but we don't please ourselves, we don't masturbate, we don't do any of those things. It's kind of hard for us. And so examining your own breast could feel like, oh, I don't want to do this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have
mm-hmm.
my boyfriend do this for me. Or
yeah.
a scare tactic of, if I find something, then, oh, my God, you know what I mean? And it
right.
kind of scares you into thinking, well, what I don't know, then, you know, I don't have to be able to adapt to or whatever. And that's just the wrong approach. And then there's so many different myths out there. If you wear underwear bras, it causes breast cancer, which is
breast
not
cancer,
true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you wear
mm-hmm.
deodorant, something in the deodorant will cause breast cancer.
Yeah.
Not
that
true.
I remember that myth. Yep, yep.
You know, if you're under 20 years old, you can't have breast cancer. If you are a male, you can't get breast cancer. That's not
you
true,
have breast
you know?
Cancer. Yeah.
Yes,
definitely.
And so a lot of times it's insurance. You know, there's a lot of free clinics now, but then the waiting list is like 3 and 4 months, and it falls on that particular day to say you have something else to do. You got to work, and you can't get off work, or you have a court date, or your daughter's PTA meeting, and you can't get out of it. And now you have to wait another 3 months, and then it's like you just go on with your life and forget, and it goes on and on and on. Well, when you have people like me that look like those people that's speaking on their behalf and from a personal perspective, you have bring more awareness and they're apt to listen more. You can't put
mm-hmm.
a Chinese person in front of me and tell me that she knows about my problem because she doesn't look like me.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so that's why I went on and tackled this. And when I went and ran my first marathon for breast cancer through Susan G. Komen, I did
mm-hmm.
not want to be one of those celebrities that just cut the ribbon and say, and you're off. I
right.
wanted
to
be able to identify and walk and run with those women. So I trained. And when I tell you I'm the kind of woman that, honey, even in New York, when I'm hailing a taxi, that's a whole lot for me to be running across the street. I'm not running nowhere.
Right.
So
right.
for me to jog this marathon was like I had a sense of accomplishment. But bigger than that, to see those women that were fighting for breast cancer, fighting for their family members that have had breast cancer, and fighting for women that were no longer with them was
because
encouraging and motivating and moving to me. I felt really like I was a part of something that I could be a part of a legacy or to make a difference of. And it's helping me even now with my purpose, in which I'm still trying to figure out. Where do I walk, Lord? My steps are ordered, but make sure that I'm praying the right way so I can step by step go to the direction in which you have planned for me, which is your will. And that is
well, talking about your different steps, I mean, you have your hands in so many different things. Can we talk about your hair? You came out with a hairline?
Yes. You know what? I realized that in my first and second season of Lisa Rae, The Real McCoy, my reality show, that I changed my hair at least 17 times.
I can tell you, because I've seen your hair quite a few times.
And I said, I got hair that's, you know, textured hair, straight hair, curly hair, wavy hair, kinky hair, ponytails, pieces and weaves and ponies, everything. And and the thing about it was is that they're all undetectable.
Mm.
And that is how you're supposed to wear hair. You're not supposed to be able to see the different textures between your hair and the weave hair. That's crazy to me.
Lisa Rae, the young girls, I see them in the street, they think they look cute, and they got the half, the root, their hair, this wavy something going, then they got the straight, and they got the glue. It's like, what are you doing? You can't get the hook up and think, you know, you look okay. I mean,
I got one bigger than that.
I hate it.
I got one better than that. The lace front waves now, girl. They just cut off the lace and glue
right
on their forehead.
Right on the forehead.
And I'm like, really? You think that looks good?
It's crazy.
I told him, I said, I should have a show called Who Done It and Why Are You Doing It? Talk to people in the street and in the mall and say, okay, I know you probably had to run out of your house quick. You know, I see you have the scarf on your head, but why did you pick a scarf that at least matched what you're wearing? Or why are you out here in curlers again? You know, and this is amazing.
I could not go out the house. My mom, my grand, I wasn't raised like that. Going out the house with curlers. I just want to tell you, people in the chat room were saying they can't wait for the second season of Single Ladies. Talk to me about the Single Ladies since they brought that up. You got some hot co-stars, honey. Hot, what? Brother who's fine up in there. I had Isaiah Washington. He's been on the show talking about his work overseas in Africa and stuff. But how do you keep calm when you're with these hot brothers? I mean, how do you separate and like, this is fiction, I'm doing my job, I'm off the set, boom, we cool, you know, because some people don't do that, and they end up with these relationships, and then they break up in like 6 months, and then they're with somebody else in another 6 months. How do you maintain your calm and focus?
Well, honey, let me say that I hope like hell that somebody do step on that step where I can have me a fling, because at least something to be going on. But but I think that, you know, you stay a true professional, and that, you know, you guys tend to miss what it takes for us to do the programming and do TV in a series, because it's not all glamorous. It takes us 16 hours to even film, you know, maybe two or three scenes a day, you know what I mean, that's going to make one episode in a week. So when you're going through all of that and it's so technical how you're doing it, all of the looseness or the emotion is gone, because you are only, you're in a position of, okay, you move like this, and then when I do this, you touch me here, and then I'll do this. You're more structured with it, you know what I mean? So you don't really have those type of feelings behind it. And it's work. It's work-related. You know what I mean? And when you're introducing somebody at a whim, like, hi, how are you? Okay, now your tongue is going to be all down my throat. Hi. You know, it's kind of quicker than just dating and meeting somebody at some place and just, you know, dating or whatever, you know. So it's kind of, you know, difficult.
It.
But I tell you, good eye candy, honey. My eyes is having affairs.
Woo, you've been having affairs. So since we're talking about affairs, can we talk about you? You are so beautiful. You are very talented. You have proven your talents to the world. They can see you're a businesswoman. What's up with the brothers, man? Can I get a shout out? Can a brother be correct? I mean, what's going on?
I know. Well, you know what? I was so busy, you know, coming off of the divorce on trying to get myself together, as everyone saw in the first season. You know, I like to call that first season me being in the trenches and me sharing my story as to, you know, what I was actually going through and just rebuilding and rebranding myself and just really being a no-nonsense person anyway. I became really that, and it became about me getting on my knees and giving thanks to God and finding my way, you know. So I didn't need any distractions. And now it's kind of hard because I get it. A lot of brothers is a lot intimidated by the fact that I was married to a president of a country. So they're like, oh, my God, if she was married to him, what kind of brother can step to her now? Well, it's no secret that I'm an accomplished woman, and I want to share my life with someone that has that's, you know, very well accomplished too. So there is criteria in which, you know, it's going to take for you to step to me. I am a worldly person. I'm an accomplished person. I'm a cultured person. I'm a world traveler. I don't need to do nothing with old boy that ain't been out of the country before or ain't be even been to Miami or Vancouver. Let alone he ain't been in first class. He ain't even flew private. He don't know what that is. I'm more structured than that. You know what I mean? And so I tend to look for a brother that has...
What are your top three things that you're looking for in a man?
Powerful, because where there's power, there's wealth, and there's already money that's there. Mm-hmm. He has to be spiritual, and I want him to be a good looker. I want to really be turned on by the time I even look at him. I want him to do it for me.
Yeah, before he even gets, you know, touches your skin, you're just like, bang.
Oh, man. It's like I can't hardly wait to get home. And I want to share my life with someone because it's much better to share, you know, and to fight life with a life partner. It has to be easier to do that, you know?
Yes. Well, some people also, you know, we started in the beginning about, you know, where you came from and how you got into business. I failed to mention that you are a sister to a rapper. I don't know if people realize that the Brat is your sister.
Yep.
And how is she doing well?
She is. She's doing well. And believe it or not, I've been down here filming for 2 months, and I've seen her one time.
Oh, no.
One
wow.
time. My schedule is so grueling, and every time I get ready to see her, she's out of town doing her thing, which I'm so thankful and so glad that she is. You know, and she's going through what I went through when I came back from my divorce of finding herself and rebranding herself, and I don't want to alter that. We pray on the phone a lot. We talk. You know, but mm-hmm. I just haven't been able to just give that heart-to-heart love that we normally get from each other.
Yeah. Where can people get your hair? Where will it be distributed? Can people go online? Or are you going to have it on your website?
Yeah.
Let me just mention that your website is lisaray.com. Also, you're on Twitter, The Real L Ray on Twitter. So go ahead. Tell me, where can people get the hair?
Right now I'm doing repackaging my hair because I did do the Bonner Brothers show in August, and I did a really big outing, like a showcase of the hair. And I just wanted to kind of introduce it and see if I was going in the right direction. And I am.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're repackaging. And it just, a hair is no brainer for me. You know what I mean? It's just that we wear hair. We going to get our hair and keep it together. So I'm actually now figuring out from distributors from that show of where I'm going to sell it, what salons and what stores I'm going to do, and if I'm going to keep it online or whatever. So everything right now will be under lisaray.com.
Okay. So people can go to lisaray.com. Also, you can follow her, The Real L Ray, on Twitter. And one last thing I want to mention. You're going to be doing Sing Down in St. Thomas coming up in May.
Yes, I did it. This is something that I started 3 years ago with my business partner, Tom and Trev Murray, from Jersey. And, just shout out to them. And they were actually the brainchild behind this because via Twitter, I got so much support from after my divorce until we started like this cult following called B2B, which means back to business. And I believe that everybody needs to be back to business, back to love, back to work, back to branding, back to something, back to your business. And so it's called being the number 2B. And we started in San Juan, Puerto Rico for the last 2 years, and it's always Memorial Day weekend. And I realized that, you know, it was when Diddy was taking people to Cancun, Mexico, and Sinbad was taking people to Aruba years ago. A female has never done it before. So I said, well, let me be the first female to do this. And it went from 500 people the first year to 1,500 people last year to this year, me moving it to St. Thomas where the beaches are better and more prettier. The water is great. The sand is white. And I must say, if I've learned nothing else, I know my beaches by now being on, living on Turks and Caicos. So I
can go to the website. What's your website, B2B?
The website there is b2bmixdown.com.
Okay. So they can check that out to get a ticket and find out all their lodging and everything. I want to thank you so much for calling in today. We've run out of time. I really wish you so much success, continued success. I hope that, you know, all your prayers come to life the way you hope they do, and you're on the
right
track.
Well, I want to say this to you, sister. I want to say that I love your spirit. I love what you're doing. Thank you for the opportunity to have my voice heard. I humbly appreciate you, and I thank you so very much. It was fun,
thank you.
I laughed, and I hope you did too. And for everyone else out there, please follow me on The Real L. Ray.
Thank you, and I'm so glad we got a chance to talk about breast cancer. It's very important that people take the time. I always tell people their health is a full-time job with benefits. You take care of your health on a full-time basis, and you will get lots of benefits. You know, we're always looking for a job of benefits. That's the job of benefits. So thank you so much, Lisa Ray, for coming on, and I'll wish you a great week, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in tonight. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Have a wonderful week. Tomorrow night, I'll be speaking with film illustrator Dave Russell about his work on Narnia, on Red Tails, and many other films. So that's tomorrow night, another special edition show at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.